5, everybody. This is For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam here for the Week 5 preview. Welcome to bye weeks, too. Four teams on bye this week: Eagles, Titans, Lions, and Chargers. So, handful of really, really good fantasy players on bye. Players, of course, getting hurt left and right. So, tough week, especially if you're 1-3, 0-4. If you need that must-win week, we'll try our best to give it to you here on the podcast, where we break down every single game. And if you couldn't tell already, it's that time of the year for me to get sick. Usually it happens like right when week one starts, so I got a little bit of a break this year, but I am sick, as you can tell, so bear with me, bear with the voice, but the show must go on, of course. And this show, as always, is brought to you by Circa. Pro football is back. So are the largest pro football contests in Vegas, with Circa Survivor and Circa Millions. You can check it out today. 5 picks against the spread each week. I say it all the time, it sounds so easy. Then you have weeks where all these teams that are expected to win, home favorites, they end up losing. But that's part of the, I believe, Circa Survivor. Check it out. Sign up in Las Vegas or go to circasports.com for all the details. We appreciate everybody over at Circa. Let's get to it. Ton of games. First one starts off, if you're listening to this on Thursday, tonight. NFC South matchup between the Bucs and Falcons. Pretty clean bill of health, at least for the skill position players on offense. Bijan was a little bit banged up. He's off the injury report. Same with Mike Evans. Let's start there. Mike Evans, going into last week, Todd Bowles mentioned that they have to get him more involved, and that was the case early. Evans finishes with 14 targets. The first play of the game went to him. He finishes with 14 targets, catches 8 of them for 94 yards and a touchdown. Currently, right at a 29.5% first read target share for Evans. Godwin's at 28%, so he passed him in this game. You're starting both Bucs receivers, obviously. I will mention, though, the Falcons, they're doing a good job of limiting explosive passing plays. 178 air yards per game allowed is the 6th fewest in the NFL. Just 3 completions of 20-plus air yards, that's the 5th fewest. But the good news is Atlanta has the sixth lowest pressure rate. So Mayfield should have time. He's a top 10 quarterback. He's just been too good to bench, especially with Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff on bye. The cool thing about Evans, too, is like we know he's going to be getting those deep targets a lot, those go routes, but he actually leads Tampa Bay with 4 targets off drag routes this season. And the Falcons, because they play out of zone, allow the 4th most targets off drag routes. So, you're starting Evans, you're starting Godwin. Tight ends brutal. I mean, we'll talk about Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, a lot of these tight ends that you suddenly just can't even start. Kate Otten last year was like a Fitbit machine. Like he would just run so many routes and do very little. And he's still running a ton of routes. He actually leads all tight ends with a 96.5% route participation rate. So basically he's running a route on 96% of the dropbacks for the Bucs. He also has 17 targets the last 2 weeks. Atlanta's been underwhelming against tight ends, but could do worse for a streaming option. And then both running backs are flex plays right now. In week 4, Rashad White played 58% of snaps, had 12 touches. Bucky Irving played 42% of snaps, had 11 touches, but 3 goal line carries and a touchdown. Rashad White still played about 69% of the third downs. The Falcons, like, the Bucs' run offense isn't great, but you would probably have more success on the ground against Atlanta. 43% of the yardage against the Falcons has come on the ground this season. That's the 5th highest rate in the NFL. For Atlanta, I know it's been frustrating a little bit, especially last week, but you're still starting Bijan. Tampa Bay's run defense hasn't been the same. I know Vita Vea is back, but they're still missing some players on the defensive line. Barkley got them last week. The week before, it was the Broncos running backs had a decent amount of success. So you're starting Bijan, you're starting Drake London, and Darnell Mooney's a flex play. First week with London games. Jets, quote-unquote, at Minnesota. This game is obviously in London. It's been rough for Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, especially last week. Wilson shadowed on 65% of his routes against Pat Surtain, fumbled early in the game. And then Breece Hall was just brutal. It's been frustrating. I know Braylon Allen's getting like 8 to 10 touches a game. There's been some talk about maybe getting him some more goal line work because Breece Hall hasn't been good at the goal line. You're not benching Breece Hall. I don't have him as like a, even in a week with all these teams on byes, like I don't have him as like a set it, forget it, top three running back. Like, but it's hard to bench him. But still, I mean, this is a really tough matchup. Breece Hall right now is averaging the second fewest yards before contact per attempt in the NFL at 0.4. And now he's facing a Vikings run defense that's been amazing. They're allowing the fewest yards before contact per attempt in the NFL. And Breece Hall has been stuffed on 27% of his carries at or behind line of scrimmage. So it's been rough. Minnesota's run defense is awesome. So you're starting him, but I'm tempering expectations. The same with Garrett Wilson right now. I mean, he's talked about how he's not running the same routes this season. The volume's been good. 8 targets again last week, but the rapport with Aaron Rodgers hasn't quite been where we thought it would be or hoped it would be yet. Minnesota's defense is very good. They give you so many different looks. They blitz a ton. They play cover two. They mix up their coverages a lot. Like, it's a lot of chaos with what Brian Flores likes to deploy. But, you know, Garrett Wilson's also had just a really tough draw of matchups, right? Christian Gonzalez, Pat Surtain, Charvarius Ward in San Francisco week one. This is definitely the easiest. Like, Byron Murphy hasn't been the same player. Stephon Gilmore's obviously older. We saw the Green Bay receivers torch them last week. So, I mean, Wilson hasn't been, he hasn't even reached 60 yards in a game yet. I think he gets there in this one. Does he score is the question. He's a wide receiver too going forward. You know, maybe this team trades for Davante Adams. But we'll see. For the Vikings, you're starting Jefferson. Tough matchup, obviously, but you're starting him. You're starting Aaron Jones. The volume's been awesome. And this Jets run defense is still struggling, right? Javonte Williams just had a good game against him last week. Jones right now, 6th in the NFL with 80 touches. He's averaging 20 per game. He's handled 43.2% of the Vikings' overall touches. It's the 5th highest rate in football. 14.1% of his carries have gained 10-plus yards. And the Jets allowing 10-plus yards on 15.2% of the runs against him. That's the 6th highest rate in football. So Jones has looked great, just like he did when he was healthy down the stretch of last season. He's getting a ton of volume. The offense is good. Obviously a must-start player. And Jordan Addison's a wide receiver 3. Great game for him last week. 2 touchdowns, 1 on the ground. But brutal matchup this week. He's in the wide receiver 3 range for me. Baltimore at Cincinnati. I'm excited for this game. A lot of notes on this game. Let's get the obvious out of the way. You're starting Ja'Marr Chase. You're starting Lamar Jackson. You're starting Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, now he gets to face the Bengals run defense. Like, yeah, I remember in week one when everybody was worried about him. Let's talk about the other backfield, though, with the Bengals, because I think this is pretty interesting. So for the first 3 weeks of the season, it was pretty much all Zach Moss, like 70%+ of the snaps, all the goal line work, all the snaps inside the 5, etc. There was definitely a shift in week 4. Chase Brown set season highs in touches with 17 and snap share at 40%. He had 2 goal line carries, scored on them both. Moss also had 2 goal line carries. And there's no doubt about it, Chase Brown's just been the more explosive player this season. 0.35 EPA per attempt, 24% explosive run rate, 11 avoided tackles. Moss, meanwhile, minus 0.12 EPA per attempt, just a 10% explosive run rate and 10 avoided tackles. Now, Moss is playing on like 80%+ of third and longs and the majority of the overall third downs because they just clearly trust him more in pass pro. According to PFF, I think there's 28 pass blocking snaps for Zach Moss, 2 for Chase Brown. So when they're facing teams that can pressure the quarterback and blitz, they're probably going to have Zach Moss out there. That wasn't the case last week because the Carolina Panthers, dead last in pressure rate. Now they face the Ravens, who can get after it. So I think we go back, not to seeing Zach Moss play like 75% of the snaps and handling 18 touches to Chase Brown's 6. But I don't. I think it's somewhere in between what we've seen and what we saw last week. So if I'm starting a Bengals running back in this game, which I would like to probably avoid it if possible, because the Ravens run defense has been pretty much the best in the NFL, right there with Detroit. I want to start Moss because I think he's going to play more and play more in passing downs. And with how inefficient he's been and how good the Ravens run defense is, you're probably hoping for a short yardage touchdown or receiving work from Zach Moss here. And I think the running back that has a better chance of getting decent receiving work based off their roles is Zach Moss. So that's how I'm breaking down this backfield, but by week 7, it could easily be Chase Brown as the running back we want to start. Like I mentioned, start Jamar Chase. Ravens allowing 87.2 receiving yards per game to opposing wide receiver ones, third most in the NFL. I think Eric All is very interesting in this game, and overall. His playing time has pretty much increased each of the last couple weeks. He played 26% more of the snaps last week. He quietly has 4 catches in 3 straight games, and he leads all qualified tight ends in target per out run rate at 30%. So he's getting opportunities, and he's making the most of them. Ravens allowing the second most receiving yards and fantasy points per game to tight ends this season. So if you're desperate, you know, you have Sam Laporta, Dallas Goedert on bye. Or, look, there's all these teams out there that can't trust Mark Andrews, can't trust Kyle Pitts. Maybe you couldn't pick up Tucker Kraft. Maybe Evan Ingram is not back this week. I think Eric All is one of the best sneaky starts of the week. I also... Not that this is like the most incredible matchup, but like I would be looking to buy low on T. Higgins while you still can. Because since making his debut in week 3, he's averaging 8 targets per game. He's run 90% of the routes. And he's only scored about 19 fantasy points, but according to FTN, almost 30 expected fantasy points. Remember in the Washington game, 2 end zone targets. The one he should have had a touchdown, Burrow threw it too high. T couldn't get his foot down. And then late in the game, they threw a back shoulder fade to him. He had to catch it with one hand, couldn't hold on to it. Also had another deep target that was like at the 5-yard line that he couldn't get his second foot down, etc. So he's been really close to having a great game. And that opportunity is still there for him. So I'm starting T. Higgins. I like him. I think he's looked good. The offense is starting to pick it up. So definitely buy low if you can on T. Higgins. And then for the Ravens, like I said, you're starting Lamar, you're starting Henry. You can't start Mark Andrews right now. I've seen him dropped in many leagues, and I really can't argue it. He's just not running routes. Like, he's not out there on the passing plays. The Ravens now have found their identity and how they want to use Lamar and Derrick Henry. And it's with a lot more heavy personnel, a lot more fullbacks. And a lot of their 2 tight end sets have featured Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler. So I know the game scripts have been weird the last two where they got ahead early and just ran the ball a million times against Dallas, and then the same happened against Buffalo. And like the frustrating part is I don't even think like he's had a couple bad drops, but I don't even think like we know for a fact that Mark Andrews isn't the same player he once was. He's just not out there. So if he has a huge game finally on your bench, so be it. But like we're at a 4-week sample now where he's not even running routes. So I say this all the time with tight ends, like you just need routes. And then Zay Flowers, he's come down to wide receiver 3 range. If we get a normal game where it's back and forth or the Ravens are even trailing, like we saw the first couple games of the season, Flowers was getting 10, 11 targets. And then the last 2 games where they didn't have to throw, he's barely gotten the ball. So if you told me right now, this game is, 27-24, or the Ravens are trailing, I would probably have Zay Flowers as like a low-end wide receiver 2 in full PPR leagues with a decent floor. But everybody in the passing game takes a hit right now with the way this team is running the football. Going from the AFC North to the AFC South, we have Jacksonville at home against the Colts. We'll have to keep an eye on Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor here, both players banged up. Richardson might have a chance to play. Taylor, it's being called a mild high ankle sprain, if there's such a thing. I think he probably sits this week, so we probably see Trey Sermon. Obviously, if Taylor's active, you start him. But if Sermon's the starter, I mean, there was a game last year where he had 17 carries for 88 yards against the Steelers. I think we probably see Tyler Goodson play a decent amount of third downs. But it's a great matchup. Obviously, Jacksonville's defense has been bad. They're allowing the fifth most points, eighth most yards, and sixth most plays per drive this season. So we'll keep an eye on that. I really like Josh Downs here if Joe Flacco's at quarterback. He had, a 30-plus percent target share with Flacco under center last week. And, Richardson, almost 20% of his pass attempts have gone 20-plus yards. That's the highest rate in the NFL. Flacco is at, 7%. So there's a lot more taking what's there with Flacco at quarterback. And that's good for Josh Downs, who, since making his debut 2 weeks ago, 40% target share against man coverage. No team in the NFL plays more man coverage in Jacksonville. And he's got a matchup against Jerry and Jones, who's allowed the 10th most yards per coverage route, according to FTN's wide receiver cornerback matchup chart, at 1.68. So I love Josh Downs here. I think Pittman, he had a good game last week too. It's a good matchup for him. He would still be kind of in the Zay Flowers range for me in my rankings, maybe a little bit higher based off the matchup. But I really like Josh Downs. Hopefully you picked him up. I know a lot of the talk on waivers this week was like Dontavion Wicks, but if Downs is out there, I definitely would have picked him up too. Travis Etienne was weird last week. He was not on the field much in the first drive. Apparently suffered a shoulder injury, came back, but it ended up costing him snaps. He only played 52% of the snaps, season low. Tank Bigsby also limited with a shoulder in practice, but he looked good again. I don't know if we're at the point where this is a Bucky Irving, Rashad White type of split, but it wouldn't shock me if we're getting close, especially if Tank Bigsby keeps playing well. They're 0-4, they might have to feel like they need to change something. Etienne's still a low-end running back too here. You can run on the Colts, we know that. So, and then I love Brian Thomas Jr. here. 6 for 86 on a touchdown on 9 targets last week. He now has 9 targets in consecutive games. He actually has the second most targets in the NFL with 9 against cover 3 defenses this season with 4.7 yards per out run, which is 6. Colts play as much cover 3 as anybody, and they've allowed huge games to wide receivers. I mean, Stephon Diggs was a wide receiver 9. Collins was a wide receiver 13. Rome was the wide receiver 7, and then George Pickens last week, despite fumbling, still the wide receiver 22. We'll see if Evan Ingram's back. Maybe it takes away some targets, but this team has to get Brian Thomas 7 to 8 targets a game at minimum. He's just their best player on offense at this point. If Ingram's not back, Kirk is a solid wide receiver 3. He's been better lately, which is good to see. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, a lot more games to break down on the Week 5 preview episode of For the Numbers. Don't move. Grab a drink. Still have a lot to go. Grab a snack. We'll be back in a second. Carolina at Chicago up next. Deontay Johnson didn't practice Wednesday, but Dave Canales said he fully expects him to play. And if he plays, he's playing for your fantasy team as well, because since Andy Dalton's been at quarterback, he's been unbelievable. So Dalton took over in week 3. Listen to where Deontay Johnson ranks in the NFL over the past 2 weeks. 5th in catches with 15. 5th in yards with 205. 1st in targets with 27. 1st in end zone targets with 7. 7th in air yards per out run at 3.9. 2nd and 1st read targets with 23. 2nd and target share at 33.8%. Panthers have also climbed to 12th in neutral script pass rate since Dalton's been at quarterback, and they're 15th in early down pass rate. So they've overall been a little bit more aggressive on offense. Deontay Johnson, this team's running a decent amount of RPOs, and he's getting all of the RPO targets. So his floor is high, his ceiling's clearly a lot higher now. Bears, this is the toughest matchup he's faced for sure, but I mean, his floor is probably 10 targets, especially with Thielen out. Xavier Leggett, way up in terms of route participation last week, which is great to see. He can take a quick slant to the house. So with injuries, with bye weeks, I mean, no AJ Brown, no Smitty, no Ridley, no Amon-Ra, no J-Mo. Yeah, he enters the flex consideration. And Chuba Hubbard, I don't know how you get away from him right now. During that same span over the past 2 weeks, he is 7th in the NFL in carries, 3rd in rushing yards, 5th in touches per game at 24. 24 touches per game. He's playing 66% of snaps. Probably would be higher, too, if we didn't see Miles Sanders get in there in the blowout game against the Raiders. So the Panthers have suddenly become, A, a more interesting team in fantasy, and B, an easy team in fantasy. You're starting Deontay, you're starting Chuba, and Xavier Leggett is a viable flex play with some upside. For the Bears, of course, as we're ready to, you know, get Roschon Johnson more touches and be done with DeAndre Swift, he goes off last week. Absolutely crazy. 23 touches, a buck 65, and a touchdown. Caught 7 passes, played 67% of snaps. Khalil Herbert, who had been kind of becoming the goal line running back, didn't play a single snap on offense. Roschon did, he scored, whatever, but it's like we go from DeAndre Swift being somebody we don't want to play any week to now he faces the Panthers after a huge game. So how do you get away from that? Second most fantasy points per game allowed to opposing running backs for Carolina. You're probably starting Swift. It's so fascinating how quickly things change on a week-to-week basis from fantasy. But again, no Lions running backs, no Barkley, no Pollard, no Dobbins. You're probably starting Swift. The wide receivers, like, I think with the way this passing game looks right now, everybody should be bumped down a spot. So DJ Moore was like a mid-range wide receiver 2 on draft day. He's more of like a low-end 2, high-end 3. Rome and Keenan Allen are flex plays where I would definitely prefer Keenan Allen. Just the passing game hasn't looked good. There wasn't a Caleb Williams isn't even throwing for 200 yards a game most weeks. So it's hard. It's hard for these guys to all produce, despite the matchup being favorable. Patriots and Dolphins up next. This game is very easy. Ramondre looked like one of the few only starts in this game, but now we're seeing reports out of the Patriots that they might start Antonio Gibson because Stevenson's fumbled in back-to-back games, which is like super funny because if Antonio Gibson has to start because you're fumbling a lot, you must be fumbling a lot because Gibson fumbles more than almost any running back we've seen in the past 5 years. So that makes it a little bit more risky for Stevenson. The matchup's good. Running backs have destroyed the Dolphins, including Pollard last week, and Spears both got in the end zone. But you'd feel a little bit less safe with it after the reports we got out of the Patriots. Nobody else. I mean, Hunter Henry's a high-end tight end too. And then for the Dolphins, I mean, I'm not playing Jalen Waddle. Tyreek Hill's like in the wide receiver 20s until we get Tua back. And to be fair, like he's still playing well. Like he should have had a 70-yard touchdown last week. Tyler Huntley overthrew him. Had a 20-plus yard reception called back due to a illegal shift penalty on Tyreek Hill. But there's no explosive plays right now. The offense is dreadful. So Tyreek Hill is like a high-end wide receiver 3, which just sounds insane to say. Waddle's a must bench. And Achan is, you know, he was at one point like a top 10 running back. Now he's like closer to RB 20. He's still getting the majority of the work, especially if Mostert's still out, but this offense is just doing nothing right now. Cleveland at Washington up next. What a frustrating game. Like if you lost by like 6 points last week and you had Amari Cooper, you're not a fan of the refs because he had an 82-yard touchdown called back due to a pretty bad week holding penalty. He didn't do much else. He had a bad drop in the game. It led to an interception. This is clearly a bounce back spot for him, though, against Washington. We know what wide receiver ones have done against Washington in the past. This year, 88 yards per game, second most in the NFL. We've seen Evans, Malik, Chase, Marv all crush them. They've allowed 3 touchdowns off go routes this season. Cooper is 6th in the NFL in targets off go routes, 4th in air yards per game. And just 34.9% of Cooper's air yards have been catchable this season. It's one of the lowest rates. Luckily, the Commanders, 63% of the air yards against him have been catchable. That's the 6th highest rate in football. So, definitely a bounce back spot for Amari Cooper. I would start him with a ton of confidence here. Jerry Jeudy, definitely would feel better about him if David Njoku's still out, but Njoku could return. But Judy's quietly been pretty solid the past couple weeks. At least 6 targets in every single game this season, too. So, he's a viable flex play, low-end wide receiver 3, and maybe a little bit higher if the Browns are still without Njoku. At running back, we had that week 2 game where Dante Foreman got the start against Jacksonville and played a lot. But the past 2 weeks, it's all gone back to Jerome Ford. During that span, he's played 80% of snaps, and he's out-touched Dante Foreman 30-7. Commanders allowing the 6th highest rushing success rate at 45.2%. So, back to feeling good about him, but probably this could be the last week you start him because Chubb is close to a return, which is awesome. For the Commanders, you're starting Jaden Daniels. I think he's the quarterback 1 in fantasy right now. He's been unbelievable. Brian Robinson Jr. had 24 touches last week with Eckler out. Eckler looks like he'll return, so probably closer to like 18 to 20 touches if Robinson's good to go. You're starting him, though. Cleveland's run defense also has not been the same this year. Miles Garrett's on 100%, so defense hasn't been quite the dominant force we thought it would be. And then Terry McLaurin starting to pick up some steam, getting a lot more of the first read looks the past couple weeks. Jaden Daniels is throwing deep more. He looks great. Low-end wide receiver 2 is Terry McLaurin for me. All right, this should be a fun one. Buffalo at Houston. Joe Mixon, I don't know what's going on with him. He's got this high ankle sprain. It looked like he had a chance to maybe return last week. He practiced on Friday last week, if I'm not mistaken. Was ultimately ruled out. And now to start the week, he's not practicing. If he's good to go, this is a great spot for him. We saw what Derrick Henry just did against his run defense. The Bills, 3.6 yards before contact per attempt allowed is the worst in the NFL. And 17.3% of the runs against Buffalo have gained 10-plus yards. That's the 3rd highest rate in the NFL. Plus, they play a ton of cover 2, which leads to a lot of pass-catching opportunities for running backs. We've seen that. I mean, 7 receptions per game allowed to backfields this season, mostly NFL. Without Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano, their linebackers are, I mention this all the time, Doran Williams, I think he's a promising player, especially in the run game. Still has room to grow in pass coverage, and Bale Inspector is terrible in pass coverage. We saw that with Justice Hill and Derrick Henry last week. Both scored receiving touchdowns. So if Mixon's good, he's a great play. If not, it's been bad, but I'd probably roll with Akers as a okay flex play. Nico Collins is like legitimately a top five receiver in the NFL. You're starting him. Dude's on pace for 2,000 yards. He's amazing. And then we have the Stephon Diggs revenge game. Should be a lot of storylines here. The fact of the matter is, you're probably starting him each week. He's getting great volume. We saw him move to the outside a little bit more without Tank Dell last week. It was about 7% more often he was out wide last week. Assuming Tank Dell's back, he probably goes back in the slot 60 to 65% of the time. And that's the area where you want to attack the Bills, especially if Taron Johnson's out. So Diggs, low-end wide receiver 2. Tank Dell's a flex play if he returns. Just the volume's been down. The target per out run rate's been down. Still think he's going to have some weeks, but it's tough to feel great about it. And then for the Bills, you're starting Josh Allen. I would very much like if Khalil Shakir and Deion Dawkins were playing in this game. Shakir, I think, will be fine. He left last week's game with the ankle, got it taped up, returned. Maybe that adrenaline's worn off, but I think he's probably going to play. Deion Dawkins, though, like at left tackle, I don't remember the last time he's missed a game as a diehard Bills fan. So one of the most important players on the team, hopefully he's good to go. We'll see, but you're starting Josh Allen no matter what. Starting James Cook. You're starting Kincaid. Again, like Kincaid just can't play a normal game. Blowout, blowout, blowout. Allen leaves early in the fourth quarter. He leaves in the early in the fourth quarter. Starters get pulled. The targets are going up each week. Like, you're still wanting more from Kincaid, but I'm not benching Kincaid for Hunter Henry, Kate Otten. You could talk me into Tucker Kraft, maybe, but I'm still pretty confident in Kincaid. All right, on to the 4 o'clock games. Raiders at Broncos up next. Davante Adams, not going to play this week or next week for the Raiders or probably ever again. We'll see where he goes. The Jets, obviously, probably the favorite. Saints, Bills, Chiefs, Steelers, all in the mix. Bills and Chiefs would have to have the Raiders pay a lot of the salary for that to work. But, yeah, I mean, we saw Jacoby Myers last week with Adams out. He moved outside more. He was actually in the slot 30% less often last week. That is good in some spots. In this spot, it's terrible because that means he's going to see a lot more Pat Surtain, who I don't know if he just full-on shadows him in this game, but I've said this before. I think Pat Surtain is the best defensive back in the NFL. He has shut down everybody's faced. Mike Evans, George Pickens, Garrett Wilson, everybody. So Adams being out makes this matchup actually worse for Jacoby Myers, maybe better for Trey Tucker, who now has scored in back-to-back games. I think he's a viable flex play, especially if we think Surtain is on Myers more than he is Tucker. Bowers, right now, you're starting him. He's averaging a solid 2.2 yards per out run against man coverage this season, and the Broncos are top five in percentage of man coverage rate. The thing about Myers, too, is even if you account Davante Adams, Myers leads his team with a 26% target share against the blitz. Denver blitzes at the highest rate in football, but again, you don't love the matchup if he sees more Patrick Surtain. And then I'm not touching this backfield. It's been terrible. It's gotten to the point, too, where like if I'm starting somebody from this backfield, it's Alexander Mattison, but I'm not going there. For the Broncos, we saw better usage from Javonte Williams last week. 57% of the running back snaps, 18 of the 31 touches. Tyler Bidet left early, so that might have had a lot to do with it. But this matchup's awesome. The Raiders allow the second most yards after contact per attempt. And the eighth most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. So, again, I mentioned it. There's a lot of running backs on bye this week. And we might not have Jonathan Taylor due to injury. So, Javonte Williams, you can flex him in this spot. All right, one of the best fantasy games of the week. Green Bay at the Rams. I have so many notes on the Packers wide receivers. So Christian Watson, doubtful to play with the ankle. Dontavian Wicks, the waiver wire out of the week. I'm fully on board. If you picked him up, unless you're loaded at wide receiver, I would start him this week with confidence. So obviously last week, had a great game, 2 touchdowns. He played 76% of snaps because Watson left relatively early. If you look at the 4 games in his career so far, where Dontavian Wicks has played at least 65% of snaps, he's averaging 5.2 receptions, 70.2 receiving yards, and 18.2 PPR points per game. He had about a 25% target share after Watson left last week, and this matchup is amazing. 4 go route targets for Wicks this season leads the Packers. Rams have allowed 3 touchdowns off go routes and have allowed the third most completions of 20 plus air yards with 8 and 4 such touchdown passes. So it is such a good spot for him. High end wide receiver 3 immediately. If I picked him up, I'm starting him. Love the spot. Love the player. Jaden Reed, top 15 wide receiver. He's been awesome. I'll take the L on this. I thought Jaden Reed during draft season was one of the most overdrafted players. I thought he was going way too high. Even if you have Watson healthy, this was still an L by me because Reed is clearly the focal point of this offense in the passing game. Clearly. He still has 5 targets a season off pre-snap motion, which is 5th in the NFL, so they're still using him in creative ways. Listen to what the Rams, according to the advanced stats up at FTNFantasy.com, listen to what the Rams have allowed off passing plays with pre-snap motion this season. 8 touchdown passes, 3rd most. 8.6 yards per target, the worst. 12.6 yards per reception, the worst. 2nd most EPA per target at 0.34. They've been crushed pretty much by every passing, and especially off plays involving pre-snap motion. So, yeah, Jaden Reed is going to smash this week. Absolutely smash. And then Romeo Doubs is a viable play too, because we know he's going to be out there a ton. He's got a matchup with Trey White, who, listen, one of my favorite Buffalo Bills of all time is Tre'Davious White, but he is not anywhere close to the player he once was. He's allowing 16.8 yards per reception and the most touchdowns with 4 in coverage this season. So I love the entire Green Bay pass game. You're starting Jordan Love, obviously. And then there should be a bounce back spot for Josh Jacobs. I know he's kind of lost some work to Emmanuel Wilson the past couple weeks. They've been some weird games. But look at this matchup. Rams, 2nd highest success rate on rushing plays this season at 49.6%. Just 13.5% of the runs against the Rams have been stuffed at or behind line of scrimmage. That's the worst rate in the NFL. And from a fantasy perspective, they've allowed the running back 12, the running back 15, the running back 5, the running back 23, the running back 3, and the running back 25 this season. So that's 6 top 25 running backs in 4 games. This is the spot. Jacobs hasn't scored yet, I don't believe. He scores very easily in this game. And then Tucker Kraft, I think he's a borderline top 12 tight end. He is dominating the routes and snaps from Luke Musgrave. Scored last week, uptick in targets with Watson out. Great matchup. Again, like, you're starting Tucker Kraft over Mark Andrews, over Kyle Pitts, over Dalton Schultz, Cole Kmet. I would entertain Dalton Kincaid. I probably wouldn't do it personally, but I would entertain it. I really would. You want pieces of this passing game. It's that simple, and the Rams matchup is so good. Speaking of the Rams, you're starting Kyren Williams. He just keeps scoring touchdowns. You can obviously run on the Packers. And then the wide receivers, like, if I had to start one, it'd be Tutu Atwell. He's getting decent volume, and he keeps getting the targets we want, the layup targets, the scheme targets, the pre-snap motion targets. Those aren't going to DeMarcus Robinson. Like, at this point, I'd probably rank it Tutu, Whittington, Robinson, if I'm ranking the Rams wide receivers. So. All right, let's keep moving on. Giants at Seahawks up next. Looks like Malik's going to be out, which is really upsetting. Still in the concussion protocol. They're calling him a long shot to play. So it's both, like, helpful for Wanda Robinson because he's been getting so much volume anyway. But, like, talk about being the only player to have to worry about in this offense if Malik's out. I still think he'll find a way to get 8 to 12 targets. So he's going to be a low ceiling, high floor, high end wide receiver 3 in PPR formats. But there's going to be no explosion in this offense. Devin Singletary also dealing with a groin. He says he might play. If he's out, Tyron Tracy probably enters our lives as a flex play. But my takeaway from this game is, hopefully the Seahawks defensive line can get healthy, because I'm playing them in a ton of leagues against the Giants right now. For Seattle, you're starting DK Metcalf, who now has 3 straight 100-yard games. We've seen the Giants give up a lot of production to opposing wide receiver ones. Jefferson, 4 for 59 in a touchdown. Amari Cooper, 7 for 86 and 2 touchdowns. Then CeeDee Lamb last week, 7 for 98 and 1 touchdown. Ken Walker last week returned, looked great. He became the first running back to rush for at least 70 yards against the Lions since 2022. He scored 3 touchdowns. Now, Charbonnet still played 70% of the third downs, and the two kind of split time in the 2-minute drill. But, yeah, you're obviously starting Ken Walker. And then JSN, Tyler Lockett, both, like, to be fair, this could be a game where we only see, like, 24 passes from Geno. JSN's really only been good in fantasy in the games where Geno's had to throw 40-plus times. So that's a little concerning that if Malik's out, the Giants won't be able to push the Seahawks in this game. So they're both kind of like really solid flex plays, but not must starts. But yeah, like Malik being out hurts the Giants, obviously, but I think it really hurts Seattle too, because it really would limit how much they would be pushed to keep scoring on offense in this game. San Fran at home against the Cardinals. Jordan Mason, smash spot here. Cardinals' run defense is awful. They are so bad. Brian Robinson torched them last week. The Lions running backs destroyed them the week before. They're getting crushed. So, you're obviously starting Jordan Mason. You're starting Debo and Kittle if they're active. I'm still starting Brandon Ayuk. I know it's been frustrating. Also, I'm pretty sure Debo has a ridiculous track record against the Arizona Cardinals. So, enjoy that. And Purdy's a great play. Brock Purdy, like, he's had games where all these guys have been out, where Trent Williams has left, and he still played like a top 10 quarterback. Like, Brock Purdy is just legitimately good at football. He's a good quarterback. Like, we need to just, I think it should have been kind of put to rest last year that he's legitimately good. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's top five, but he's just a good quarterback. He's a great player here. Cardinals defense just won't have any answers. Cardinals offense, Kyler, it's a little bit frustrating. He's had back-to-back really strong first quarters, really first drives of these games, and then he's done nothing. So, I don't love the spot on the road. Hopefully, Trey McBride's back. If he is, you're starting McBride, obviously. You're starting Marvin Harrison. James Conner is a viable running back, too, who's getting great volume. I'm probably still starting Kyler. Like you could talk me into like maybe Baker on Thursday night, something like that. But for the most part, I'm probably still just trusting Kyler. And weird game last week too, where he only ran for 3 yards. I don't expect that to continue. But I'm kind of tempering expectations for Kyler. Like, I don't have him as like a top 6-7 quarterback this week, I don't believe. All right, we have two primetime games on Sunday and Monday night. We will break them down after one final break on the podcast. Don't move. We'll finish up the Week 5 preview episode of the podcast when we return. Sunday Night Football, a matchup between the Cowboys and Steelers. Cowboys defense can be missing some players here. DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons most likely out for this game. It's not ideal. Let's start with the Steelers. Justin Fields finally showed that ceiling last week, over 300 passing yards and a touchdown. Ran for 50-plus yards and 2 touchdowns. When the Steelers actually are not controlling the game with their defense in the run game, we'll see those kind of weeks from Justin Fields. Dallas' defense, I mean, you take away those two pass rushers, they've already been underwhelming to start the season anyway. I think Fields, you can make the case, is a top 12 quarterback this week. Especially, like, we know how bad Dallas' overall run defense has been. We know Fields is going to get probably 7 to 10 design runs in this game, especially if Jalen Warren and Cordarrelle Patterson are out. Najee Harris was a massive disappointment. He saved his day with pass game usage last week, which is what you can kind of bank on, not just if Jalen Warren's out again, but now if Cordarrelle Patterson's out. I think Dallas' run defense played well on Thursday night. I don't think that's who they are. I still think they're one of the 6-7 worst run defenses in the NFL. And Harris probably gets 18 to 20 touches in this game. Maybe more if the game's close and Warren's out again. So it was really bad on a per carry basis against the Colts last week. But if Jalen Warren's out, and especially if Cordarrelle Patterson's also out, like I'm probably going right back to Najee. George Pickens, a weekly low end wide receiver 2. He's been pretty good this year. Like, other than the Broncos game where he had a 50 plus yard play and a touchdown called back in the same game, other than that, he's been pretty good. And Pat Freiermuth has also been a top 12 tight end. It's hard to get away from him right now. For the Cowboys, you're starting Lamb. Brandon Cooks is going to be out for this game, so maybe you could talk me into some Jalen Tolbert and some deep leagues. I actually think he's a good player. He's looked pretty good. Jake Ferguson, must start tight end. And then Rico Dowdle is a flex play. We're seeing more and more usage from him each week. Zeke's kind of fading away. The only time they really gave Zeke the ball last week was like to give Dowdle a rest and then to get the 2-yard carries where he wouldn't fumble the ball at the end of the game. Still, the frustrating part is fullback Hunter Lipke is the legitimate third down back on this team, which is just like embarrassing, but it takes away some of the upside of Dowdle. He's a flex player right now. Probably get 12 to 16 touches. Hopefully he scores and gets a couple passes thrown his way. Final game of the week. Chiefs at home against the Saints on Monday night. No Rashee Rice. We still don't know how much time he's actually going to miss, but he's obviously out for this game. Travis Kelce, the targets, the first read, all that stuff went way up with Rashee Rice leaving early last week. Kelce, I mean, with Hollywood out, with Pacheco out, with Rashee Rice out, this team really doesn't have a choice, especially because Xavier Worthy's not quite there, in my opinion, not quite ready to get 8-plus targets a game. This team really has no choice right now but to just get 10-plus targets to Kelce. And now with Rashee Rice out, he operated a lot of the areas of the field where Kelce does. So Kelsey's probably going to go back to being the tight end one rest of the season and have a lot of these like 7-for-65 touchdown floor games. I really think that. So you're starting Kelce. Kareem Hunt's probably the running back I'll start for the Chiefs, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was Carson Steele getting goal line work again and then Samaje Perine mixing in on third down. So I'm not saying Kareem Hunt's all of a sudden a must-start running back, but I definitely ranked him the highest of the Chiefs running backs after what we saw last week. Steele loses the fumble early, and I thought Kareem Hunt did look good. So this team might have to rely on the run a lot more now. Worthy is still, like, I don't view him as all of a sudden like a safe wide receiver 2 with Rashee Rice out. He's still a wide receiver 3 with maybe a little bit of a higher floor and still a ceiling. And then in desperate deep leagues, like, Juju Smith-Schuster and Justin Watson will be out there, but you have to be really hurting or in a really deep league to consider them. Would I bench Patrick Mahomes this week? Yes, I would. He is not an elite fantasy quarterback right now, and he hasn't been for a while. And now you take Rashee Rice away? Like, Justin Fields, Baker, Darnold, Geno. I'm starting all of them over Mahomes. Trying to think if there's anybody else. Probably not. Obviously, Jaden Daniels has been there. Here's a question. If we get Joe Flacco starting for the Colts against Jacksonville, would you start Joe Flacco against Jacksonville over Patrick Mahomes? I might. He just hasn't been a top 10 fantasy quarterback for a while. Does that mean he's not still the best quarterback on the planet? No. But just hasn't been much of a ceiling there. For the Saints, you're starting Kamara, you're starting Olave. Rashid Shaheed's he's probably like a high-end wide receiver 3. Maybe low-end wide receiver 2 with the bye weeks. He's a good player. Good game last week, other than the muff punt. Probably starting these guys. And if Taysom Hill plays, you see the upside last week when he scores 2 short yardage touchdowns. If he's good to go. I mean, honestly, if Taysom Hill plays, are you starting him over Mark Andrews at this point and Kyle Pitts? Probably. I remember when I thought tight end was going to be deep this year. It has been the polar opposite. Not only has it not been deep, but the elite players have sucked. That's fantasy football for you. That will do it, though, on the Week 5 preview episode of the podcast. A little bit of a shorter pod than normal because the team's on bye, but for somebody that's pretty sick right now, I'm not complaining. Appreciate everybody listening, as always. Keeping it locked in here at FTNFantasy.com. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the pod, as well as all the episodes of the podcast, part of FTN Media, The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe, the fantasy football podcast for FTN with Jeff Ratcliffe, Mike Randall, the Fast Break NBA podcast with Randall and Zach Graham. I'm excited for Hoops. And then you also have the Dynasty podcast with Jeremy Popolar. So a lot of content, rankings, all of that on the site, updated all the time, projections, tools, articles, cheat sheets, access to Discord. Exciting time at FTN Fantasy. So keep it here, and that will do it. Best of luck. Hopefully week five starts off on a high note for you on Thursday night between the Falcons and Bucks. I'm going to go get some rest. Appreciate everybody hanging in there with me. Much love. Best of luck. We'll talk to you guys next time.